Lord, I ask that you would bless us today and give us a word, that you would take the words that I speak and that you would quicken them with your spirit so that they might be a word for us in terms of our individual lives, but also in terms of who we are as a people. In Jesus' name, amen. All I know is what I read in the papers. As are the words of Will Rogers, who was a political humorist back in the early part of the 20th century. And if Will Rogers were up here today, he might begin this message with those words as well. You know, all I know is what I read in the papers. And it seems to me the president is doing the best he can. And that should really scare you. People who don't know why America is the land of promise should be here during our election campaign, especially the one that's coming up this fall. Year after year, decade after decade, the same jokes work with just changing the names. Just listen to an old joke with a new name. It looks like President Obama is doing the work of two men, Frank and Jesse James. I hate political jokes. They always get elected. About 6-7 years ago, I think I heard Rush Limbaugh say that he heard that Barack Obama said to a large group before he was elected that George Bush and company has been stealing you blind for 8 years. Give me a chance. For the past 8 years, I haven't been voting for the best candidate. I vote for the one who will do the least harm. What do you think would happen if everybody believed what the candidate said about one another and nobody won? All I know is what I read in the papers. As far as I can tell, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights are still part of our Constitution. That's why I can stand up here and poke fun at the President of the United States and politicians. The Bill of Rights states in the very First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Tomorrow we celebrate the birth of our nation, the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So I want us to use part of the Declaration as a litany today and also as an affirmation of our faith. And I'd like to also use the Pledge of Allegiance as particular example of the authority behind this nation. So we're going to do this litany and pledge. Now, as I see it, this is the left and this is the right. But if I come down here and I turn around, this is the left and this is the right. So it all depends on your perspective, right? Wrong. Left, right? I'm going to get Pam to help me up here. We're going to lead us in this litany. And I will, let's see. Come on over here. You can have the left. I'll take the right. You guys are the right, right? Okay, so everybody stand up and face each other. Left gets to go first.
We ready over here? Okay, here we go. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
that whatever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of the colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states.
And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Let us join together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Be seated. I want you to notice that in both of these documents, there are references to the Creator, the Supreme Judge, to God, that we as a nation stand under God's authority. Now, I won't embarrass you by asking how many of you ever read the Declaration of Independence in its entirety. Surveys show that there are only about a quarter of us that have ever have done that. If you do, though, you'll find the fundamental principle behind that document. The whole foundation of independence is an appeal to the highest court, which is, as the Declaration puts it, the supreme judge of the world. The truth that it says are self-evident, but they're only self-evident because Almighty God has already established them in His Word. The truths on which this country are founded are in the Bible. Where else do they, where can you find them? The Declaration of Independence assures those who read it that those who wrote it and signed it were depending totally on the protection under the authority of the Supreme Judge for the truth of these principles and the preservation of them as well. And so I can say to you, fellow citizens of the United States of America, without compromise, that the birth of this nation is founded on a declaration which, without its biblical foundation and its appeal to God, is really nothing. It would be sheer insupportable nonsense. This country is bound directly to God Almighty. Now, as I read it, the main thrust of the declaration has to do with the right of the human being to liberty. In its simplest terms, the struggle of human history has been the struggle for freedom, for liberty. The Magna Carta, which stated it back in 1215 AD, became the cornerstone of English liberty. As the Great Charter said, it said a free man is to be free. It was the battle cry of the French Revolution, liberty, fraternity, equality. It is the Communist Manifesto, for that matter. Workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains, freedom, liberty. And there is, of course, the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we hold these truths to be self-evident. And if the Son of God makes you free, then you are free indeed. A person is free only with the predetermined limits established by our Creator. God's order and authority is the foundation. No one can think seriously about his own freedom until he asks the question, what is my destiny? What am I created for? And the person who shouts, "Now it is my life and I'll live it any way I want to," has only stated really two lies. It is not just his life, nor can he live it the way he wants to, because he does not live in a vacuum. On July 3rd, 1776, George Washington wrote a letter to his wife. Some of that letter were these words: "In a few days, you will see a declaration setting forth the causes which have impelled us to this mighty revolution and the reasons which will justify it in the sight of God. I am fully aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yes, through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory." The father of our country was not a naive dreamer or empty-headed revolutionist. He knew the cost of freedom in blood, sweat, toil, tears, and treasure. 85 years later, Abraham Lincoln was asked if he thought that if God was on his side in the Civil War, and he said, "The question is not whether God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side." And that will always be the question this nation should ask itself. Are we on the side of Almighty God, serving Him, doing His will as a nation? And we need to remember the blessings and the curses that go with moving with God or against Him. And I want you to read with me Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 6, which has to do with the blessings in terms of following God. Here we go. "And if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Lincoln stood up at Gettysburg and he restated the question. He says, "Whether this nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated could long endure." Lincoln knew the cost of freedom. The cost of freedom is responsibility. If you know the truth will make you free, but also comes with knowing the truth is the freedom that you are responsible. These men knew what every great statesman of our nation has known, and which every one of us better know: liberty is not a destination, it is a journey in this life. We're still on that journey as a nation. The cost of freedom is still knowing the truth and taking responsibility for knowing that truth. It still takes blood and sweat and tears and toil and treasure. We are responsible. Barack Obama and Congress, they are responsible for that freedom. We are part of a great experiment that is 240 years old. Freedom is not something to just be enjoyed. It is something that makes us responsible to God. To keep freedom, we have the responsibility of always holding up the light of truth and defending that truth. Benjamin Franklin said after the meeting which had finished the writing of the Constitution of this nation, as he stood on the steps of Constitution Hall, he stated to newsmen, "We have given you a republic if you can keep it." The question is as critical today because many have forgotten or stand against the foundation upon which this country was built. The foundation is the Creator, the Supreme Judge, God, who will judge us as well. Freedom demands responsibility. Whatever else the beginning of the United States was, it was a Christian experiment. You know, I need to say that again. Whatever else the beginning of the United States was, it was a Christian experiment. When the pilgrims came to America, it took them 23 years to pay for their own passage. They were blown 500 miles off course, and so they didn't land in Virginia. They landed in Massachusetts. But when they finally stood on that rocky coast, they fell down on their knees, kissed the earth, and they wrote for all of history to find, "We established this state to the glory of God and the spread of the Christian religion." The United States was not an experiment in democratic government. That actually had been tried 2,000 years before in the Greek city-states. There was only one thing that made America an experiment that was unique in the pages of history, and it was a Christian democracy and republic. The freedom that it spoke of, that it referred to in the Declaration, was the freedom established through the Word of God and Jesus Christ. It was humanity raised to the dignity with which Christ Jesus had made us free. There is only one thing that holds this nation together and will continue the blessing and stop the curses that are so apparent in our nation right now. Only one thing. We were established as a nation under God, a nation under God's authority in terms of how we live and treat each other, and we knew it from the beginning. This was the dynamic, strength, power, motivation, and inspiration. Hear this truth, and the truth will keep us free. We are a nation under God's authority. If you name Jesus as your Savior and you're in that process of making Him Lord of your life, then your life is under God's authority. You answer to Him in terms of your life. If you lose that force, and we lose the nation. Lose that authority in your life, and you lose your life. Lose that authority, and this country is gone. We are history, just like the Soviet Union is history. The truth is that it is both collective and individual in nature as well. Each of us is responsible for our own freedom, but we also, as a nation, are responsible for it together. You know why China fell to the barbarians, even though they had that Great Wall, which still stands today? The reason that they fell was the guards were bribed. The nation fell because the guards on the wall could be bribed. No nation is stronger than the character of its people. And by the way, that's you and me. That's also Barack Obama and the members of Congress. That's also Donald and Hillary. And for us in this state, it's Ronner and Madigan and all that bunch. General Omar Bradley said America today is running on the momentum of a godly ancestry, and when that momentum runs down, God help America. All you have to do is look around you and look at this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 28 to know that we are moving from a nation of blessings to a nation of curses. And it's simply because we are slowly forsaking God in this country. Read with me Deuteronomy 28:15-20, because this is the curse that goes with leaving God. Here we go. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your cattle and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your doings, because you have forsaken me. We need to remember the law of the harvest. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow is what we reap. The truth is that anyone in this country is not a worshiping person, and under God's authority with their life is a traitor to the foundation principles of this country. Now, I've heard all of the propaganda about being a good citizen and a good person outside the church, but that's a lie. The non-Christian, agnostics, atheists in this country are parasites living on the spiritual momentum and stability produced by people living under God's authority. And like all parasites, they are slowly sucking the life out of this nation and the host body. George Washington knew it. In his farewell address to the nation, he said, "The foundation of the republic is morality. And it is foolish to suppose that we can have morality without a religious impetus." There's one more thing about freedom that our forefathers knew, that freedom which comes from truth now is never safe in this world as long as one person is under tyranny, and because the basis of that kind of rule is to suppress the truth. The Declaration of Independence was not written for just 13 states, or for us today, for that matter. It was written for the world, and all you have to do is read it. It is speaking to anyone who will read it. Why did we go into Iraq or Somalia or Bosnia or Afghanistan or wherever? The truth is that as long as there is that grinding tyranny and inhuman behavior, we're going to find ourselves representing the principles on which this nation was founded. It's biblical, too, by the way. Now, I'm not going to go into it today, but God has put us in a position of leadership in the world and power to protect others. But we are losing it. Unless there is a reversal of our ungodliness in this country, a few years ago, a slip of paper was handed to a large group of people in Madison, Wisconsin. The people were asked what they thought of the words that were written on that slip of paper. These were the words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it." Well, some thought it was very radical thinking, much too radical, actually. Some thought it was silly idealism. Some thought it was written by a communist. Some thought it was written by a cult and the work of a cult. Over 120 people were asked, and out of that group, 13 recognized it as part of the Declaration of Independence. Today is the 3rd of July, 240 years later. Take a look around you on TV and stuff and see how much of the celebration focuses on the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And also see if anyone else besides what you have heard here or in other churches mentions God in all of this. And remember the words of Deuteronomy 28. They are prophetic. They are not only for ancient Israel. They are for us who have declared that we're under his authority. Well, like Will Rogers said, all I know is what I read in the newspapers. And it's not what we don't know that gives us trouble. It's what we know that ain't so. And that's where a lot of people are today in this country. Tomorrow we celebrate the 4th of July, 240 years after its signing. And I hope we're able to say with those that signed it, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Jesus said, "Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But many people don't know the truth. They just stumble over it. And as Winston Churchill once said, he said, "People sometimes stumble over the truth, but usually they just pick themselves up and hurry about their business." May God bless you this day with the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we live in this country. Help us to not only appreciate what we live in, but to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. In Jesus' name, amen.